Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Hello, Dome Patrol United, and welcome to another episode, mainly focusing on the Pelicans of the big breaking news today. My name's Ben, as you probably know, I've got a British accent, and I'm back hosting. It's great.
It feels great to have a real host now.
One that turns up on time. Unfortunately, Jeff's still going to be looking at the editing, so we may not get this. We're recording this on the night, well, the night for me, the afternoon over in New Orleans, that Alvin Gentry's been relieved of his positions as the Pelicans head coach. And I'm just joined here by Jason, and we're just going to reflect on the Gentry sort of time and what the Pelicans could do forward, and potentially a few other things that may cross our mind, Pelicans or non-Pelicans related. So welcome to the show, Jason. What's your number?
I'll probably go with a 3. I got a pork butt in the egg right now, so I've been smoking that all day. I had a couple cocktails early, but I ran out of liquor, so now I've got a strawberry cane break. That's what I'm drinking right now. So yeah, I'll go with a nice 3.
I'll probably join you on a 3. You know, I've had a couple of Camden lagers and now doing a pale ale. It's
quite nice. Okay. Okay.
Quite a nice little drink from London. So I've been on the podcast for ages. It's quite nice to actually be back talking.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. Again, you know, it's always so hard, and we'll figure out what the hell we're going to do in the regular season. But, you know, the whole time difference is, you know, it's kind of rough for some people to show up and others not to show up. So I'm glad.
The future's glad mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2020. Nobody knows what the fuck's going to happen. So,
all right, let's dive straight into it. Alvin Gentry is gone. He could put no more. Your first thoughts when you saw that news break?
I know there were some rumors circulating early in the week, and it seemed like it was definitely going to happen. Look, you hate to see a guy get fired, and, you know, he's been through a lot here, you know, and I was thinking about it today. It's like, you know, we had Monty take over, you know, with the Davis era, and he got better a little each year as the team was young. And then the first year of the rebranding of the Pelicans, we actually made the playoffs. I mean, we got swept by Golden State, but Golden State was, you know, Golden State. But, awesome. You know, a lot of people here weren't huge fans of Monty, but I still figured, look, he got him to the playoffs. I didn't think he deserved to lose his job, and yet Del Demps fired him anyway and brought in Gentry, who at that point was the assistant in Golden State, and their offense was great. You know, I get it, but when we hired him, it's like, well, I mean, he's had a long history in the league. He's a good guy, but as an assistant, I thought he was a very good assistant. You know, it helped running his offense when you had shooters like Golden State had, but in terms of a head coach, he really didn't have a ton of success. So it was kind of like, I mean, we'll see, but, you know, he was a retread and he didn't have a lot of success. And he came in and, look, we, for whatever reason, we're perpetually an injured franchise. You know, I mean, he had to deal with a lot of bad shit happened, a lot of injuries, even the Davis, you know, we had our one playoff run against Portland, which we won, which was a great playoff run, and I kind of thought we were going to springboard for that. We didn't, for whatever reason.
I think that's what's really cost him his job, is we didn't kick him from there. And
if we
kicked him from there, we'd still have Davis, but saying that, we wouldn't have Zion, so.
Right.
For a reason.
Yeah, and you know, getting Zion, like, I know, you know, the way we ended up in the bubble, we were 2-6 in the bubble. It was very disappointing. At the end of the day, look, this was the first year of the rebuild. You know, it was hard to expect a ton this year, especially with Zion missing 40-something games. But to me, it was the same problems that happened even with a more veteran roster before with Davis and Drew and Anderson and all those guys. It was poor defense. It was turnovers. It was a poor free throw shooting. Whether it was a veteran team or whether it was a young team, it really didn't matter. And look, I know Gentry is a great guy. I mean, he's, you know, he had to deal with a lot here and he handled it as well as he could. But at the end of the day, he just isn't a winning head coach, you know? And look, when you've got a chance now, I mean, look, we had Chris Paul and we had a couple of years of somewhat success and it failed. We had Anthony Davis and we had basically 1 year of success and that failed. Now we have Zion and Ingram and some young cores. It's like we can't afford to screw this up again. I mean, how many lifelines are we going to get as a franchise to get it right? You know, he's just not the guy. Like maybe they find a job for him in the front office or he goes to be an assistant somewhere else, but he's just not a good head coach, especially for what we want to do going forward.
I think he's actually going to go out of the organization by the sounds of the statements and a little bit of interviewing I've heard from Griffin. It sounds like he's not going to be really staying around. So maybe they offered him something and he didn't want it. So
I mean, I guess that's the thing. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. If he wants to still coach somewhere and be in part of the coaching life, then yeah, he'll go be an assistant somewhere. But I mean, you know, he did take to the city of New Orleans. You know, I mean, he was all you could ask for in a head coach, except for being a good head coach.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like I say, he embraced the city a lot, and you know, he went through some hard times with obviously the old Davis drama, injuries, and also changing the ownership from Tom to Gale. And I think Gale really wanted the Pelicans when Tom was around, and Tom wasn't really, you know, he wasn't really too interested in it at all. And I think Gale actually really wants to. The Saints were a winning organization before she got there, and I really think she wants to turn the Pelicans into a powerhouse of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could tell she definitely wants the Pelicans to be her thing, that she was actually good at being an owner for the Pelicans. That's the thing. Like, as of now, the Saints organization was so set up with the power structure in place. That was always going to be, look, I mean, you say what you want about Tom, but he put Loomis and he got Peyton in charge, and he kind of ran that pretty well.
Yeah.
Right. But in terms of the Pelicans, right, I mean, you know, money wasn't an issue. It was just competent ownership. And, you know, the first step was getting David Griffin. I mean, I think David Griffin is the guy. Like, I trust whatever decision David Griffin makes going forward, I trust him. He brought in Trajan Langdon. He brought in Swing Cash. I think that guy knows what to do. And I don't think money's an option. I saw, you know, Ryan Russillo had a tweet about not wanting to pay him. But, we're going to have to – I mean, we picked up Gentry's option for next year, so we're going to have to pay him to go away. So I don't think money is an option in terms of the Pelicans. I think they realize, you know, our situation is very enviable for a lot of coaches. We got a lot of young players. You got Zion. You know, this year just didn't, you know, it didn't work out. It was frustrating. And
it's
maybe
a brand new team as well. You remember? Literally, yeah, brand new team.
Right. We were throwing a lot of young guys in the mix. And I get it. You know, we're a young team. It's we shouldn't have expected to make the playoffs this year. But, you know,
I think we make it easily with a healthy Zion all season.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So actually, looking at it, God, what this could have been if he was healthy. But obviously, yeah, there's lots of ifs and buts with sport all over the place. If someone's healthy, but you know, Gentry could still be in a job. But end of the day, for me, the turning point for Gentry, like you said, was obviously the Davis drama and that not kicking off the season. But there's one game this year. I looked at it and said, this has just got to end. And that was the Minnesota game against the Timberwolves. Like, that was just before a couple of games before lockdown. You know, we know we had to go out and win pretty much all our remaining games going into the final stretch. We just completely shit the bed in Minnesota. The turner, was it at home? I don't know if it was at home or Minnesota. I think it was in.
I know we had two games kind of close. I think it was actually home, and then we ended up.
It was a home game. We won
right,
the away game.
Right, yeah. Right, it was a home game. We ended up going back and beating them in Minnesota, but it was definitely the home game. But that kind of brought
so
up.
Bad. It was everything you said. It was turnovers, poor free throwing. It was just it was shocking.
And I think Griffin saw, you know, and he, you know, in his press conference today, he said, you know, the win loss in the bubble wouldn't have mattered. Like, if we'd have been playing today in the play-in game, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, the same problems showed up. You know, we were god awful in the fourth quarter.
Start a game.
You know, our defense sucks, our rebounding sucks, and our turnovers. I mean, we were second to worst in the league in turnovers, and we were the same way with a veteran team with Davis and Holiday and all that. I know he wants to play fast, but his system just doesn't work unless you have an incredibly high team like the Warriors. Like, it worked for them because they were the fucking Warriors, but for a lot of other teams, that shit's just not going to work. And he kept saying, oh, we got to be better at defense. We got to be better at turnovers. And it never changed. I mean, look, the first game in the bubble, we had like a 16-point lead against Utah, and we fucking blew it in the fourth quarter. It was the same shit, you know?
Visitor just joined behind you.
Oh, yeah, we got Renee's – well, Jax, my dog, he's in the Thunder, when the weather gets bad, he tries to hide. So he's hiding under my computer desk right now. He's a little afraid. And Stella's on the bed. And yeah, Renee's just trying to make it easy for him. But yeah, I think Griffin saw. You know, Griffin saw. He knew we couldn't keep Gentry alive. He saw that we can't keep him around another year because one other reason is that, you know, a lot of the fans. Look, this has been a hard franchise to support for a while. I mean, it's crazy to think that I've had my season tickets for now, I think this was year 13. Mm. Despite all the bullshit and all the, you know, the shitty, you know, the shitty management and just whatever, like I'm still here, but there's a lot of people who were quit, even though they were excited with Zion, excited with this, the bubble everybody was excited. The bubble happened and we went 0-2 and shit the bed. And you risk losing a fan base that wants to follow you. Like, it's part of the reason, if you bring back Gentry, that there's people that aren't going to give a shit next year. And it's hard enough, you know?
And David Griffin did a press conference today and you know, he said he was very, very, very keen on keeping the assistants on board. Do you think that will potentially put some people off the job, that they can't bring their own people in?
I mean, maybe, but I mean, and look, I think like Fred Vinson is one assistant I definitely want to keep 100%. What he did with Lonzo's shooting stroke, he's a guy you definitely have to keep. We brought in Chris Finch. I'd like to keep him. I mean, our defense still kind of sucked, but I thought at some, you know, before the stoppage, we got a little better, but I don't know if, you know, some of that is him, but also like Gentry's overarching philosophies of, you know, I think that could kind of got in the way. I would love to keep a lot of our assistants, but at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, dude, you've got a coaching spot where you've got Zion, you've got a 23-year-old Brandon Ingram, you got a 23-year-old Lonzo Ball, you still got Holiday, who's an all-pro defender, you got a lot of young pieces, you've got a lot of draft picks coming up. I mean, we are an enviable place to want to coach. You know, if you want to bring in an assistant or two, that's fine, but I think there's enough room on your bench to keep some of the assistants that we have. But I'm okay with Finch. To me, the number one guy that I want to keep around is Fred Vinson. I think he is the number one.
Could you see them maybe promoting from within? One of these guys coming head coach? Do you think they need a new voice in there?
Even with Finch, he was only here for a year. So, Griffin seemed to think they were going to give Finch at least an opportunity to an interview, which is fine with me. I mean, I think he could be a head coach. It's crazy. So like somehow on Facebook, I joined some random Pelicans fan page, and every time the takes are just so goddamn awful. They want Mark Jackson. They want Jason Kidd. One guy's like, oh, trade Drew Holiday, trade Derek or get rid of Derek Favors. And it's kind of amazing, a lot of stupidity, but, you know,
that's fandom for
me. I mean, I guess I should be happy that there are fans that kind of care, but man, we got a lot of dumb fans out there.
Every sports club has one. Every franchise.
Yeah, but you know, if we hire Finch, that wouldn't be an awful thing. Like, the one thing to me is I don't want a retread. Like, I don't want Jason Kidd. I don't want fucking Mark Jackson. A lot of people seem to want Mark Jackson for whatever reason. You know, Tyronn Lue, I don't know. I mean, he won because he had LeBron, you know.
I don't want anyone from the Lakers because it obviously didn't work out with Lonzo Ball and Ingram and Josh Hart. You don't want to bring people in and say, well, you kind of got rid of me. I didn't really.
Yeah, and it seems like some of these early names that are getting floated by these national media guys are only because it's in their interest to kind of promote these guys. And from what Griffin said, this is going to be a long process. Mm. I honestly, like, I don't anticipate either Kidd or Jackson or Lou to be the coach. I do not expect them to be the head coach.
I think you'll find that it'll take a good month, I think, to get the right guy.
I mean, I know it's a weird off season because the draft and the season are going to start pretty soon. But I definitely I don't anticipate I trust Trajan Langdon, I trust David Griffin. I don't believe that Kidd or Lou or Jackson are even on their fucking radar right now. I don't think I just don't anticipate those being the guys. You know, whether it's Kenny Atkinson or some other assistant. You know, it's like the NBA coaches. You know, some of them come from guys. I mean, look, Monty Williams did a great job in the bubble. He went 8-0. And, you know, a lot of people, even me included, I was kind of frustrated with him before. So sometimes that can happen, but
Do you go for an experienced head? Would you go for an experienced head or would you go for someone young and upcoming and wanting to prove something?
The only guy that I would go for would be Greg Popovich because there was something floated today that it looks like.
I saw that.
Brooklyn's going to go all out for Popovich. And I'm like, okay, if it was Popovich, yes, I would give the fucking world to get Greg Popovich. But if it's not him, I don't want any retread. I'd rather either some young assistant or a college head coach or something. It just seems like that's more the path. I mean, look, Gentry was a retread and here's where we are, you know, I don't want a guy that's failed before because more than likely he's going to fail again. I mean, there's a small chance that he could get better, but.
This decision is massive for the Pelicans. This is the biggest decision they've had. This is it. This is Zion time.
Right? Like this,
if you want
this,
to win, you need to make this decision right.
I mean, that's the thing. This determines whether we win a championship or whether we don't. And whether in 5 years we have to trade Zion because we fucked it up.
So that's why I'm glad they're taking their time.
And like I said, Griff is a smart guy. I trust whatever decision Griff makes, unless it's Jason Kidd, I trust him.
Please welcome Jason Kidd.
That would be – I might consider giving up my Pelicans tickets if we hire Jason Kidd.
Griff's too smart. He wouldn't do that.
I mean, and I'm not bothered by all the noise out there. Like, all these names floating out, that's not going to be our head coach.
And let's just say, you're not going to please everyone. When the news comes out, whoever it is, you're going to have people bitching and moaning about it.
Yeah. It's just, look, it had to happen. Like, I guess, look, step one in doing what's right is that getting rid of Gentry. Even though he's a good guy, you know, it had to be done. He's not a good head coach. That's just – it's unfortunate. It sucks the way it had to end, and he's been through a lot here, and he embraced New Orleans. But, like, sorry, you had Anthony Davis, and you couldn't win.
At least not getting in the playoffs. We're going to have a nice little lower draft pick as well.
Right? I mean, look, we made the playoffs once in this 5 years. Yeah. Once. So, exactly. Like, at the end of the day
– and you had Anthony Davis for four of those years.
Right? I mean, right. At the end of the day
– okay, he was injured a lot, but
– and. You know, look, there was a lot of crazy shit, but it's a results business. I mean, you can't, you know, like we are, you know, we've been in New Orleans since 2002, I believe. We've made the playoffs, I don't know, 5-6 times maybe. It's like.
How many playoff series have you won?
One.
Exactly.
Two.
The Portland and.
No, we won Portland, and we won the first round with Chris Paul in 2008. We beat the Mavericks. So we have two playoff series wins since we've been in New Orleans since 2002. And at some point, you have to change the perception and the attitude of the franchise.
Change it's kind
of
like
it, you have to change the culture. Like what, like with when Peyton came in 2006. Yeah, you know, we were a losing franchise, and he changed the culture. That's what we need.
You've got the players there to change the culture.
I mean, like, I mean, that's the thing. We're not an old shitty team that has to, like, the fact that we had to trade Davis, but we have all this in return. I mean, look, it's great. Like, I watched the last game the other night that we lost. Josh Hart played. You know,
he played next year.
He played hard. He has been an incredible find, you know, in this trade. In addition to how good Ingram is, and Lonzo struggled in the bubble, but I still have faith.
I've seen enough of him this season. Forget the bubble. Fuck the bubble. It's just weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He had
right. I mean, he had a bad bubble. It sucks. But all these people like, oh yeah, trade Lonzo. He sucks. No, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like, there's plenty of play. Like, we have a young nucleus going forward. You know, with Zion, with Ingram. I mean, again, we are the, you know, we're going to be the most desired place to want to coach.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on in our favor, but, you know, we have to make the right hire here to actually make good on our potential.
Is the right guy. I just hope the right guy is out there.
Look, there's a guy somewhere. I don't like, and that's the thing. Everybody's like, "Oh, well, who do you want?" I don't know who the guy is going to be. I just know I don't want. I just know who I don't want. You know, even in a text message, like, "Oh yeah, Jason's whoever we hire, Jason's going to be mad because there were like three other guys." So look, I don't know who's a good coach out there. I just know I don't want Jason Kidd. I don't want Ty Lue. I don't want Mark Jackson.
And then free name popping out as well.
You know, so, right? Like, some people are floating Mike D'Antoni. Like, he's going to be gone from Houston. So you're like, yeah, he's a decent coach, but he runs the same system Gentry did. And what has he ever? He's never won a championship. You know, I don't want that either. Like, and you know, this will be his third chance. He's never won a title. The whole goal of this is to win a fucking championship. I don't want a guy that can get you like to the Western Conference semifinals, but not get you to a championship. I'm sorry.
the talent this team's got as well,
right?
You need to crack on now,
right? And again, like, I don't know who it is, but there's somebody out there that can guide this team to a championship, and whoever, like, that's the guy we need.
I say give it two. You know, I'm not saying give it 2 years. I think where some of these players will be. I think where Lonzo will be in 2 years. I think where Ingram will be in 2 years. I think where Zion will be in 2 years.
Right. I mean, look, Zion averaged, you know, pretty much a point a minute, and this is just his first go-around through it. Like, he's only going to get better. Ingram's still going to get better. Lonzo's still going to get better.
Jackson Hayes.
Jackson Hayes has a lot to learn, you know. And there's a ton. Alexander Walker, I mean, there's a ton of potential, a ton of talent, plus all the draft picks that we're going to have coming in once the Lakers bottom out. You know, it's there's a lot there. It's just, but like you pointed out earlier, I mean, this is the most important decision probably in the franchise's history.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with that.
You know, it's the fork in the road. It's like, if you make the right decision, championships. If you don't.
If you make the right decision, it can even be a dynasty. If you make the right decision.
Yeah. Right. I mean, your most important players are 23 or younger.
Yeah.
All of them. You know, as much as I love Holiday. Like, I'd like to keep him around, and that's another crazy part. People are like, oh, trade Holiday. I mean, go fuck yourself. Stop it.
No,
just don't.
You need that experience in the team.
Right.
You
I mean,
need
that's
senior
why,
head there.
I mean, that's why I love J.J. Redick this year. I mean, for the longest time, J.J. Redick aggravated me because he was on somebody else's team, and I didn't get it. Watching him on this team this year, I fucking love him. I don't want him to play for anybody else.
And he had higher offers to go elsewhere, but he wanted to play in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I love about it most. You know, we attract the player of his caliber to come down to New Orleans.
Right. I mean, at this point, he's a longtime veteran. He wants to win a championship, and we have him for another year, you know, for sure. If we make the right hire, and let's say, you know, we have a nice season next year and kind of advance, and he kind of sees, you know,
in the playoffs, win a series or two, and
right?
Then,
like, yeah. he'll stick around for a little less money if he wants to win a championship, and that's a perfect guy to have on your team.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. It's I just feel people are gonna hate a lot on Derek Favors.
It's
Derek
crazy.
Favors is the new fall guy, isn't he?
It's wild, but when you look at it, when he's in the game, our team and defense is just better. I know he doesn't wow you, but at the end of the day, you look up.
No flashy plays, and he's
right.
small. he's small for a center.
But it's wild. Like, at the end of the day, oh, he's got 10 points, 11 rebounds. It's like, that's
good.
That's all you need with everybody else around. That's all you need. Like, we don't need a center that scores 30 points.
If you're getting Ingram and Zion in high 20s, high 20s, low 30s.
Right, and then you still got Holiday. Right, Holiday.
Yeah,
you know,
JJ Redick getting 15, 18.
Right. Right, Lonzo cracking 15. Right, you don't need your center to be, you know, there's not a ton of crazy centers anymore. But that's another thing on this little page. It's like everybody's like, oh, fuck Favors. I don't know. You know,
who are you gonna go get? Exactly.
Right. I mean, look. I would hope Jackson Hayes gets into that role. He's not ready yet. I mean, you can tell. And look, we even knew coming in. He's raw, but one thing they said coming out of the draft is that his improvement from year to year, you know, really showed. So that'll be a big thing to see. I know it's a lot shortened off season that we're going to have, but look, he needs to get better in a lot of things. He needs to develop an offensive move because all he has is basically putbacks, dunks. He doesn't even rebound well, but I think some of that was Gentry's, you know, system. I mean, that was one crazy thing. He played 30 minutes that last game, and he had – 4 rebounds. It's like, how does a guy like that only get 4 rebounds? Well, because Gentry taught him, once the ball hits, run back. And our defense was shit anyway. But, you know, to me, that's going to be one of the bigger things to next year is to see how Jackson Hayes and Alexander Walker, what they do in the offseason to improve. Because Hayes needs some kind of offensive move. He needs something.
He'll be.
I mean, look,
he'll start center for us towards the end of next season. He'll be the starting center.
I think so. I mean, he's got to prove it, but like history does show from year to year he gets better. But he definitely needs to work on something because he's a liability in a lot of ways. He just uses a lot of centers to kind of get by this year.
Right. We'll just got to move on from Pelicans briefly. And Saints training camp really started. We're starting to get a bit of news out of Saints training camp, not too much. So it's mainly a Pelicans podcast, but we'll dive in a little bit on the Saints as well. Deontay Harris has COVID, so everyone thinks he's screwed for the season, but I haven't realised the season doesn't start for a long time. Just shows you how mad Saints Twitter actually is.
But also, there was rumours out today that it seems like they think it was a false positive.
Yeah. How is that happening? There's so many false positive tests going around.
Well, because there's no – I mean, I bring it up to my brother all the time. Like, I haven't been tested for it. And I asked Christian, I was like, what do y'all have a test for it in his office? He's a doctor. Do y'all have a test for in your office? No, because none of them are 100% reliable, which is crazy. But none of these tests, even though they're fairly accurate, they're not 100% reliable. That's why you have some of these false tests. Like Matthew Stafford tested positive. That was a false positive. I mean, you've had some players – even some of the earlier, like the long snap or whatever, it was a false positive. You know, they didn't really have it. So, right. But again, look, it's not the, again, like you said, we still have 4 weeks till the season. If you test positive now, I mean, yeah, it's not great, but fuck it. We still got 4 weeks. If he tests positive,
he's going to make the team.
Right. Like if Drew tested positive in 3 weeks, okay, I'd be worried.
Talking of quarterbacks, Tommy Stevens has been lining up as a tight end, isn't he?
I saw that he got a tight end number.
Yeah,
lining up a tight end. Yeah, I mean, look, if they can get him on the field, I get it. You know, because I don't know how the rosters are kind of expanded, but it'd be hard to put him on the practice squad. I feel like somebody would try, knowing that we drafted him for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants the Taysom Hill type now. It seems like if you can't put him on the practice squad because somebody would scoop him up. So they're trying to find a way to get him on the field, whatever it takes, without having to put him on IR.
It's weird. It's weird not seeing anything from training camp. It's really strange. Like it doesn't feel like the season is this close to us now, as it is now. It's it's a month away, the season.
Yeah, and look, that's why, it's been hard, even though we do a fucking podcast, it's been hard for me to get into the season and care about anything because there's not even the clips of Emmanuel Butler going wild in training camp.
Brandon Coleman doing 100 catches over Ken Crawley, and right. Everyone said, Brandon Coleman's the one.
I mean, under normal circumstances, we would have had a preseason game last night.
shit.
You know, so we would have had an actual preseason game to talk about, to watch over. We could have seen how Jameis did or how.
Oh, we must be doing some scrimmages with some teams lined up. That must be.
I don't think they can. I mean, I don't know how you can do a scrimmage against another team.
God, the first 4 weeks of football is going to be.
It's going to be sloppy. I mean, that would seem to benefit a more veteran and together team like the Saints.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I mean, look. The last few years, ever since the 2011 CBA, where they limited practice time, the first 2 weeks of the season have been kind of bad football. Yeah. And now this is going to be even worse. It's going to be at least a month of bad football.
Obviously the first game is against the Bucks.
Right.
And that's going to end of the day, Brady and Gronk. That offense is going to be. Is going to be a bit skew with because they're not going to have time to really practice too much.
Right.
I mean, we go to Vegas after that, and you think we should have enough talent on the team to go and beat the Raiders. And then the Packers. Is that the Dome Packers game? Yeah, it is at the Dome, isn't it? Yeah. And then. Yeah, they seem like a team that's been around for a while and haven't had many changes. But, you know. By the time we start playing the Lions and the Chargers and the Panthers, we should hopefully be in a groove.
I mean, we should. I mean, I know it's going to be a weird off season, and I will look that it really is a benefit to have to play the Bucs week one because they're not going to have a ton of practice time. Now I know the Saints were able to have some practices this week with helmets on but no pads, but I believe they're going to also start practice like some padded practices next week. To me, the only question, the real big thing going forward, I mean, there's kind of two things with the Saints. One is, you know, how quickly can Sanders get acclimated to the offense and to Breeze? Because that was kind of an issue last year with Cook. You know, it took Cook half a season. I mean, it didn't help that Breeze missed, you know, weeks three through eight. But it took a half a season, and then eventually in the back half of the season, Cook was what we thought he was going to be. He was dynamite. So, you know, one of the big things was to have Sanders. You know, I know Sanders went out to wherever to work out with Breeze, which
is
good.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Denver? Yeah, I think it was Denver. So at least that's good. They were able to do a little bit. And, you know, at least they're veteran enough. I mean, I'm sure they could figure it out. But the other big thing to me is Ruiz. You know, is Ruiz going to play center? Is he going to play guard this year and then move to center next year? Because McCoy did pretty well last year. But I think their plan is to have Ruiz at center and McCoy at guard. You know, can Ruiz get enough snaps to have them be comfortable with him at center?
We haven't had any major players opt out as well for COVID. It was quite nice.
No, we had two guys who were going to get cut.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I took it. They knew they were going to get cut. But look at the roster and go, oh, we're tight ends. Let's just have a look. Who's on the depth chart? Well, you've got Tommy Stevens now lining up tight end. You've got – he's not going to get cut because they traded the draft pick for him. Taysom right. Hill can play there. Jared Cook, Josh Hill, and Troutman. And it's interesting seeing some quotes from Cook. He's talking about Troutman. It seems quite high on him already, saying he runs good routes, got good hands. So,
Yeah, like I could see Troutman being a guy. Doesn't do a ton early in the season, but towards the end of the season, maybe like we start running a lot of two tight.
Playoff Adam Troutman.
Right? Hey, look, we start running a bunch of two tight end sets with our two receivers and Kamara. And look, you know, I know a lot of people have said it. I mean, we seem to be the best roster in the league right now.
Oh, I think so, definitely.
It's... You know, and I know, like, they came out and said there's going to be no fans the first game. I still think there's going to be no fans the second game. I don't, you know, I think there might be fans in October, maybe, but some of that's going to depend on the mayor, you know, and the governor and what they think they want to do. I mean, look, even if it's just, you know, 15,000 fans that can be kind of spread out, I think that's great.
Wearing face masks. And...
I mean, the problem is a lot of the... all of the people down here, I could see them. They'll put on their masks to get into the stadium. Once they're in their seat, they're taking that shit off.
And that's weird, man, because over here, the masks have been quite well adopted, adhered to. Like, you know, we're not asked going shops without wearing a mask, but they can't physically force you to wear one. So if you do go in one, you're not going to get shut out. But end of the day, I've seen, I'm going around shops and everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's wearing masks in the high streets and stuff like that, around shops, and it's been adhered to quite well here. So I don't know, just different culture or so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will say, well, a lot of the Jefferson Parish places, like, you have to have a mask to go inside anywhere. So any place I go, like today I went to, like, I went to Target and I went to somewhere else. Everybody's wearing masks, which is good. I could just see, like, in a Superdome, a giant space, even if you're spaced out, you know, unless there's somebody physically enforcing it, once you're in your seat, people are just
going to try and talk to someone 10 seats from you, and you just pull the mask down so you can actually
But then there's the issue of, you know, everybody wants to drink at the stadium. You're going to have your drink. I mean, you're gonna pull it up, pull it down every time you know, you take a drink.
That's it, because over here, you know, pubs are open and everything, and you don't need a mask to sit in a pub, but you do go into a shop.
Yeah, there are some bars open in Jefferson Parish, but in New Orleans, I think a lot of the bars are closed. But anyway, I do think there'll be fans in October. I do.
Yeah,
I mean,
cap. The NFL needs it.
Right, right. And look, and you could tell, like, New Orleans kind of waited till the last minute as possible, and even now they've only announced the first game. Like, some teams have announced the whole season, some have just announced a few games. We've only announced the first game. So I would anticipate, you know, I think that the second game against the Packers, I don't think there's going to be any fans, but I would say by October we'll have some sort of fan base in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Cool, fingers crossed. Well, I think that's everything for tonight. I think there's another podcast being recorded on Monday, I believe.
I think we're getting back on our normal schedule. You know, I've got a softball league starting on Monday. That's going to be – my game's at 6:30, so I don't know. I may not make this Monday, but I think we're trying to get on a regular rotation.
So hopefully it'll be a bit of format to it now. So I say NFL, NBA's finished now with the Pelicans, but obviously you might do – and the next Pelicans podcast might be when the head coach gets announced.
For Pelicans, you got the head coach being announced. I mean, you're going to have the draft will be – it's crazy, though, but I think the last possible date of the NBA season is October 12th, so then the draft is going to be like a week after that. But shit, you know, other than hiring a coach, it's going to be the draft.
Yeah. And when do you think the season's going to start again?
Some people are thinking, I think maybe Christmas.
Okay, it's not a bad idea.
I mean, that was kind of an idea floating around before, would be to shorten the NBA
football season.
Right, like shorten the NBA season by, you know, like 7 or 8 games, start at Christmas, and avoid most of the NFL, and then, you know, you kind of have the whole spring to yourself.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I like that.
But the question will be, you know, do they, if they do next season, do they just do it in arenas with no fans? Do they try to do another bubble? I can't imagine the players are going to want to do another bubble.
No, I can't imagine. I think it will depend on how well the NFL does with that. They're playing in every stadium. It depends how well the NFL does with it.
Yeah, so. well, and like how baseball keeps going on, you know. I mean, there's one team, like the Cardinals, they finally played today, but they've only played 6 games. I mean, before today, they hadn't played since the end of July. You know, it's all going to depend on how you keep your players, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's like in football, well, soccer, whatever you want to call it, they've got the European Cups they're trying to finish off at the moment, and, you know, they're all being doing in bubbles, one in Germany, one in Lisbon, but going on next year. I think they're going to try and go back to normal, but obviously try and start getting fans in from October. But we'll see what happens. But no, Saints podcast Monday. Then obviously we haven't really got any other sport really going on until the NFL and the Premier League starts. I think me and James might do a Premier League show just rounding up transfers and all sorts of things building into the new season, potentially rounding up the European Cup games. But yeah, apart from that, make sure you go onto Facebook and Twitter and like us at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Are we on Instagram? I think we are on Instagram as well.
We're probably. It's not me. Probably. I'm not on Instagram, but
no,
we're probably on there somewhere.
We're all over the place. You can listen to us on the usual places,
right.
Spotify, Podbean, all that usual stuff. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can listen to us on
DebraChildPodcast.com.
Say goodbye, donkey.
Bye-bye, Alvin Gentry donkeys.
Tally-ho.
Oh.